Hey, good morning, everybody. One of the most challenging areas in child raising is how to communicate with your children. Many times parents like to explain a very simple concept to them, which is common sense, to a new child. It may be strange to them, doesn't make any sense. For example, button down your coat when you're going out, it's rainy, it's cold, it's windy. When you hold a hot plate, hold it with two hands, because you may burn yourself and it may drop and you may fall and break. When you're pouring a drink, 2 liter bottle drink or 1 liter bottle drink, hold it with two hands again. It shouldn't spill. Or don't eat too much sweets, because if you eat too much sweets, you may get cavities. And the child says, what's a cavity? And you tell him it's a hole in the tooth. And he says, you know, who has a hole in their teeth? My teeth look okay. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He doesn't know what you, want from him. Basically, the core of the issue is can you reason with your child, which is the subject of today's talk. Because we're limited of time, I have to curtail it a little bit, because that's in Manchester, I guess it says a full lecture, either 40 minutes or for an hour. And we're going to speak about basically how a child's emotions work as they grow up. So we're going to skip the first two stages, because obviously from the show, when the child is young, 1 to 3, and then from 3 to 7, so there's no point of reasoning with him because he has no seichel, and it's obvious he can hardly talk. So there we're not talking about reasoning with the child, but the problem happens when we deal with the age of chinuch. The age of chinuch starts, according to the post, between 5 and 7 years old, according to the development of the child, as the Mishabur writes, the form Khurfe, according to his Tarifas, and the halachas of what we have to start training them. Now, first of all, to realize that you don't train a child until he knows what he's doing. If a child doesn't know what he's doing, then there's no need of training him in mitzvah. That's what Chazal says at the end of the third segment of the Sukkah, that when a child knows how to take lulav and esek, how to shake it, that's when you give him a lulav and esek. He thinks that an esek is a lemon, and you give him a broomstick, and he thinks that's a lulav, and he starts shaking it like the father does. There's no mitzvah of chinuch in such an instance. He has to know at least what he's doing. So at this stage, for sure, the child's not ready to reason with, and he's functioning solely on an emotional level, even when the age of chinuch does start. Parents make the mistake that when they start chinuch, the age of chinuch with children, they can reason with them and they complain that it doesn't work. But that's perfectly normal. First of all, we have to realize that children are 100% children. They're not even 1% an adult, and they're not even a small adult. They're totally a child. So don't expect the child to behave like an adult. In other words, doing things logically, things that make sense. So the question is, how do we start? If that's so, we cannot reason with a child at that age. How do you start being mechanech a child? So, going back to what I said before, that since the child functions on his emotions, we turn to the pasuk in Mishlei, one of the most famous pesukim on chinuch, which says, chanoicha na'ar pi darko. So chanoich, people usually translate to educate a child according to his way. Chanoch also means to start a child, like chinuch. Chinuch means to start also. But Rabbeinu Yonah and the Malbim say, chanoich means targil. Targil hanar bedarki hamidus tevus v'haminogin. In other words, to start with habits. Don't use your logic, start making habits in the child when he's young. In the beginning, don't do too much explaining. Try to build up habits. For example, before they eat, they must make a bracha. When parents come in, they must stand up when the parents come in. The mitzvah deraisa, learning how to see the mitzvah deraisa to stand up twice for the children, for the parents, once in the morning, once in the evening. When the parents are talking, you don't interrupt, right? You want to speak to me? Wait till I finish talking, and then you'll be able to say what you want to say. Before you eat something, make sure you check the heksher. Always is somebody in shul giving out candies or sweets. You go to a simcha, people are giving out different nash to the children. You train the child that before we take something from a stranger, make sure you know what if it's our heksher. Before you leave the table, make a bracha chreina and bench. And of course, you know, personal hygiene. Make sure you brush your teeth in the morning, in the evening. Wash negavot in the morning. All these things are habits which you try and start when the child is young. And when habits are formed, especially when they're young, they will last a lifetime. And they're more valuable than anything, any way you can reason with a child by forming a habit in what he's doing. Lamaisa, forming a habit means, which is hergel, means to say something again and again and again. Parents complain that they told the child 5 times, they told him 10 times, told him 100 times, when he comes home, hang up your coat, put that in your backpack, put everything away neatly, and he comes home, throws everything on the floor, goes to his toys, whatever he's ready to. It doesn't work. To pour something slowly, no matter how many times he says, he's always trying to pour it with one hand and do it quickly, and it spills on the table or spills on the floor. Or when he sings Mirif, please sing on tune, don't walk to my daddy, sing the same beer that daddy's singing, don't try a different one. Whatever it is, they try and tell him again and again and again, it doesn't work. He gets frustrated. So first thing, before a parent gets frustrated at their children, to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu that you have children. A person that has happy and healthy children is a great bracha. How much would people, a child of scuffle, give in order to have one child in the house, just to turn the house upside down, to make some noise, to make a mess, to give anything, $18,000, $20,000, $30,000, or £10,000, £20,000 to adopt a child, until they find a proper child, right, that they can adopt, and a healthy child, costs a lot of money, a lot of pain, a lot of work. So that's the first thing to do, is when a person feels they've been frustrated with children, stop for a minute and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have happy and healthy children. A mess, a balagan, noise is a sign of a happy and healthy family, and a functioning family. You don't want to come home at the end of the day, everything be quiet. Everything is working in pinpoint precision, right? Something is not normal here. You can't come home to a quiet house. Always something has to be doing. Right? Even if you have a few kids that are well behaved, there's always one child in the family that's always like the little nudnik. He gives up skar chinechabanim, skar gidlabanim. Right? He's helping out, he's doing that. So that child himself will also, right, make the house a little bit leavened. So parents complain that sometimes they say something that goes in one ear and it goes out the other ear. Whatever we're saying, right, it's going to the wall. So they're right, it goes in one ear and it does go out the other ear, but inside it gets stuck, something gets stuck inside. Right? It doesn't go out totally, and that will stay when he's older. A child is what we call an adult in training. Right? We're training him. And just like you train yourselves, whether it's a new computer program, new musical instrument, or when you start to drive, or these new high-tech devices, the cameras that they have today, the iPods, all the other things that they're coming out with, MP3s and MP4s, and the digital cameras. So when you try and play around with them, right, you make mistakes. Sometimes you press the wrong button, you get stuck in the middle, you don't know where you are, it just doesn't work. You have to start over again, you have to reset everything, start again, it happens. Practice makes perfect, as the expression goes. So therefore, with children, it's the same thing. Children are practicing to be an adult, and they need constant practice. And if you prepare yourself for this thing, when a child is small, to know that this is what a child is, you won't get frustrated. Because the part that I say, you know, now, is that what's the source of anger and frustration in parents? They try to tell a child something. Why do they get so angry? And why do they get frustrated all the time? Because you have two parts of a scale. The top of the scale, right, the top of the graph, you can call it, is called anger. Anger and frustration is the top of the scale is the expectations. We have certain expectations of the child. The bottom of the scale is reality. What is the child? Between reality and expectations is the gray area of anger and frustration. So if a person realizes what the reality of the child is, he's only a child, a kid is a kid. Don't expect more, he won't get frustrated. But if he has expectations that the child is going to be an adult right away, he's growing up and he's starting to do mitzvahs, he's going to chay, he's running chumash, and he's starting to bench and have all the other mitzvahs already let him behave like an adult, and he expects to behave like an adult, then for sure he will get frustrated. Now, based on this, the fact that children do function from their emotions, right, I'll just give you a very simple example how to prove a very simple point, how you can't reason with a child. Let's say a child, right, just started learning Mishnayos. He's 7, 8 years old, whatever the age of learning Mishnayos is, and he's learning a Masechta, and you want the child to memorize the Masechta Mishnayos. So you tell the child, you know, if you memorize this Masechta Mishnayos, I'll give you a choice of two prizes. I'll give you two rewards. Either I'll give you £100, and that £100 you can put, I won't let you spend it now, you put it into the bank, you let it get interest, and maybe when you get by Mitzvah, you'll have a little bit more money, you'll buy some sparring, buy whatever you need, buy some clothing, whatever it is, to put it in the bank and let it get interest. Or what I'll do is I'll give you a 2 or 3 week free certificate to go to the shop to buy whatever you want, all the sweets, the candies, the ice cream, you can take it for yourself, give it out to your class, you know, come to school with a whole bag of treats for all the boys in the class. What would you rather have? So of course any adult will say the treats, you can have it for a week, but that's the end of it. A child, right, he'd rather have the money. But children act on emotions. Emotions mean what they feel now. And what the child feels now is a geschmack of buying the sweets, going to the shop, being like an adult, being like a father, giving out to the children. Of course he's going to pick that over the money. So you see from there how a child functions on their emotions, not on their tzeichel. And because the child functions on the emotions, we find in the Svarim the holding of rewards as incentives. The Rambam brings it down, the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayis, and the end of the Perash Chelek in Sanhedrin, there's a big long Rambam there. And in that Rambam he explains the concept that you have to try and get a child to do something with rewards. Give them prizes. And we have to upgrade rewards as they get older. When they're small, they get sweets. When they get a little bit older, they may want clothing. Now they want other things. and then they much want money to spend what they want. You have to, just, as they get older, to change the rewards. This is what the Rambam said. And the Rambam's verse that he says about giving rewards is also brought down in the latest from the Svig HaChinuch, the Reshus Chachma, the Shloch, Menorah Tamura, all this from the Svig HaChinuch bring down this Rambam. Because again, when they're young, they don't understand the value of midas and amitzvahs, and since the hergish, the regish, dominates them, the emotions, therefore they need something that they feel. They have to relate to something which they feel now. What they feel now are treats and rewards. Therefore, at this age, that's the way to get through to the child. But, of course, you must be careful not to overdo it. Don't get too many rewards. He doesn't have to get a reward for everything that he does. You have to make your priorities. Now, the question that some parents ask me is, when they're old, what happens when they get older? Are they going to have rewards when they get older? I mean, after a while, the rewards get more expensive. It's not just treats and toys and whatever it is. They want some of these high-tech electronic things, whether it's a fancy mobile phone or something, an MP3. So what are we going to do when he gets older? So my answer is like this. First of all, from my experience, at least with parents, my own children, when children get older, they outgrow the rewards also. In other words, they feel that rewards is for small kids. It's not for them. Now we're an adult, we're by mitzvah, or we go to Yeshiva Tana, whatever it is, we don't need rewards. So they stop rewards automatically, not to stop them from doing good. But even if they don't stop the rewards, if you can get your child to do something, because giving a reward, you should be happy. Because some children are not into rewards at all. Parents complain to me, we try to give children sweet, and it just doesn't work. Skittish. They don't want rewards. They're just stubborn. It's what we call today's world a doctor child. A doctor wants to do fakir. The other way, that you tell them nothing, give them rewards, it doesn't mean anything to him. Right? There's a different reason why children behave like that. But Lamaisa, if you have a child that does want rewards, you should be happy, and Baruch Hashem, you have a way of getting through to the child and to motivate them. Now, sometimes we find that rewards do not work, or we try to make habits, they don't work. And there are many reasons. One of the reasons which I want to mention today is one is that the parent is a poor role model for a child. Parents try to train the child to daven slowly, to say a bracha slowly, but if they themselves don't say a bracha slowly, they themselves don't sit orderly by davening, if they have their mobile phone on vibrate, and every time it vibrates in the middle of davening, look and see who it is, and sometimes they'll say, right? So they realize that davening is not so important. Now, I've called up people sometimes on the mobile phone. You never know, where they are. And the person picks up the phone and says, Abba, Rabba, Son of Hashem, Elokeinu, right? He's davening. He wants to tell them that he's davening, right? Well, that's the way it is. So a person acts like that with the mobile phones, which is mamish, one of the unfortunate things we have with the call comes with the bracha that's invading our total privacy 24 hours a day, 24/7. But if a child sees that a parent is interrupted when he davens, he always has it on, so therefore he will see that davening is not so important. And whenever you try to train him, it won't work because you're a poor role model. If you're trying to train the child not to get angry, not to scream at a sibling, to mevater, but every time somebody gets on your nerves, whether it's somebody in the workplace, somebody calls you up, or a neighbor, or a friend, you get angry. So again, poor role modeling wears off on the child, and you won't be able to be much on him to influence him. But another reason is that why these methods don't work is because parents sometimes lose their patience. They lose their patience. They don't have patience. They have, I know I have simple kinder. Sometimes you have a few children in the house. It's just difficult with three or four kids at different ages. They're a year and a half apart, and everybody has different needs and wants and this. So what do we do now? They lose their patience. So to give patience, which in Eretz Yisrael is called Sablonut, is a very, very important concept in Yiddishkeit. First of all, Revolver writes in the Sefer Alei Shur that in order for parenting to be successful, we have to have a lot of patience. A lot of Sablonut, he writes. You need a lot of patience. Because, again, it's training a child from zero, from nothing to train to be a Yid of Ben Tzerni Yerushimayim. But there's another point which I want to bring out, and that is part of becoming a good, well-balanced Yid, right, to be Mekayim Mitzvot, is not only the key of the Mitzvot, but it's also facing the challenges that the Mitzvot pose to us. And this brings us to a point which was brought down by Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, to Yeshiva Baltimore, came out with a book on Chinuch recently, and he brings up this point very clearly. It's very really based on Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim writes, "Kol ha'olam nisyon yitein la'adam." The whole world is a test for us. The minute we get up in the morning, we are being constantly tested about how we will act with our children, how much testing we will do during the day, how we will speak nicely, lashnar, get angry, how we will daven, say brachas, how we will focus, come to davening on time, right? All different mysteries happen throughout the day. So now he explains as follows. He says there are two parts of doing the mitzvah. There's a maisa mitzvah, and then there's a decision you have to make, which is an assignment. An example. Let's say a person is going and has a picnic. He's going to the outing with his children, he goes to a park, sits down at picnic on a bench, and all of a sudden, in the bench next to him, a guy comes there. He starts to make a barbecue, a chaser, and the shell foods and crabs, all these trifles happen. And it starts the smoke and the odor start to come to him. So it's echoed. Right? He's not tempted to eat it. He doesn't want it. He'll move away. There's no necessity not to eat chaser, right? No matter how good it smells, you know it's not for you, and that's the end of it. Okay. So that's the mitzvah of not eating chaser. But the challenge is when a person goes by a restaurant, and on this restaurant they have some questions about the hechsher. Some say it's a good hechsher, some say a bad hechsher, some say there's problems with it. It happens to be a special that day, and it happens to be one of his favorite dishes they're making. And now he has to make a decision: should he go in and be mako, right, and rely on whatever integrity there is of the owner and eat the food there, or should he not? That's where the challenge comes. That's where the decision comes. That's where the nesayin comes. And therefore, child raising is the same thing. Child raising involves challenges. We have challenges, daily challenges, challenges by the hour of dealing with our children. And in order to succeed, we have to face the challenges, and we have to try and overcome them. It's no different than a person gets a new job, and he wants to build himself up. He wants to go up in the ladder, in the pyramid of the job. So he the different challenges of sales, or whatever, or speaking, or working harder, finding new ways of marketing the device. It doesn't make a difference, but there are constant challenges that he has to face. And when he faces the challenges and he succeeds, that's why he grows. The same thing is with Yiddishkeit, and certainly the same thing is with child raising, also with marriage. The same thing. Marriage, everybody knows, involves tremendous amount of challenges with one's wife, with one's husband, different natures, and you have to know how to adjust. And she wants one thing, he wants the other thing, they're always pulling the rope this way, he's pulling the rope that way. But it's the way we face the challenges, the way we succeed, is that's the way we grow in marriage and child raising. And some in Yiddishkeit, that's how a person becomes a better person. Now the reason why we have difficulties today in facing challenges is because of our society. We're in a high-tech society. Everything goes quickly, right? Everything is 1, 2, 3. You don't have time, no patience to wait for anything. And everything, if you don't, and you always get whatever you want. A simple example. Once the Rav said over in a shir, on this note, he said that a phone company called him up and they asked him to connect him to an overseas service. So he said, well, I have an overseas service already. I don't need yours anymore. So they asked him, which service do you have? He says, well, I have service number X. He says, well, I'll tell you something about that service. That service connects you in 8 seconds. We do it in 2 seconds. Now, what can a person do in 6 seconds of his life? Like, what's the big deal, 6 seconds? Right? But the whole thing is, we do faster. The computer, all the new programs that come in, how much to connect faster to the internet, how much to send emails faster, to start up faster, to switch programs faster. Everything is based on quick. And the same thing with the printers. All the printers that come out, they can print faster, they print quick, everything. So therefore, all those things have an impact on our mentality. And our mentality is that we have to do things quickly. There's no patience. When a person, when something breaks, doesn't pay to fix it. Right? We buy a new one. Things are made today that you should buy a new one because every so often the new models are coming out. They say a joke that when you purchase a computer, by the time you walk out of the shop already, there's a new model out. Right? That's how fast they're upgrading everything. So things keep on moving in the world. The things are made cheap, therefore they want you to buy something new. So people, every time it changes, they transfer that mentality to their family also, to dealing with their wives, dealing with their husbands, and dealing with their children. And that's why. So that's why it leads to frustration. So if a person runs away from challenges, he's really running away from life. This is the life of challenges. Becoming a frum yid and a well-balanced yid and being successful in marriage and child raising is challenging, and therefore we have to face the challenges and we have to know how to deal with it. Now as the child gets older, he does start asking why. Why is this and why is that? So you have to start explaining to him the reason according to his mentality. If he asks why we keep Shabbos, why we make brachas, what's wrong with playing with the matchbox, what's wrong with turning on the button on the stove, whatever he may ask, something about safety, you have to explain to him. Very important. Although, that at that time, he's still not functioning with reason, you cannot reason with him, but he understands certain concepts. So according to the child's age, according to what his age is, that's how you have to explain to him. And things which he does understand, don't push it away. Say, just do it. Don't listen to me. I mean, just do it, just listen to me. That's not the answer. You have to tell a child it's a very good question, but he's a little bit too young to understand this. Just wait another 1 or 2 years, you grow up a little bit, you'll excel a little bit in your learning, I'll be able to explain it to you. Let the child feel important when he asks these questions. But it's very important to try to explain something to a child when he asks, and that is the best time when we can get into the child. Because when a person asks, that's the best time they'll be open to accept it. We know this from Kiruv. Anybody who's in Kiruv knows, you can't go up to somebody in the street, right, and ask him, do you want to become Jewish? Let me prove to you the Torah of Sinai. It's just, he's not interested in hearing you, listening to what you say. But if you bring it to a class, you bring it to a seminar, you have one of these seed programs, and he starts asking questions, that's the time you can get into him. That's the time he's open. So the same thing for children. When a child asks a question, that's the best time to explain something to them. And you have to stop what you're doing and try to explain it to the child according to his age, according to his ability, what he's asking about. Now, I just wanted to spend the last few minutes on adolescence, because that's one of the big issues today, children going, they call it the rail here, or the derech. And basically, it's one of the most difficult stages in parenting, because one of the major problems is that there's no mutual understanding between parents and children. Parents say, what does this young child, this 13, 14-year-old child, know about life? And, right, and the children say, well, the parents are from the old generation. They don't understand me. Right? It's a new door, new generation. So, right, so who does understand the child? His friend. Right? Another adolescent, another 13, 14-year-old is going to understand him better than his parents. Of course, it's an Irish guy. But the Maisa, what they're saying, has a point. In other words, of course, a child who's very young at that age does not have the proper understanding in order to make the right decisions in life. But also, he feels that the parents are also from a different generation. We know today things are constantly moving. Give you a simple example, just the way a person dresses. Right? You know the style changes very quickly, every half a year, whether it's in women's fashion, now it's black, and now there's different colors, it's long dresses, short dresses, open, but a different way, and it's a different style. Men's suits also, whether it's three buttons, two buttons, single breasted, double breasted, all these things, wide lapel, narrow lapel, wide ties, it all keeps changing, the brims of the hats keep changing, and that basic stereotypes the person in the child's eye. So if the style changes and the parents are still wearing the old style glasses, right, the old suits, right, all this, they're already from a different level, they don't understand me. There's something psychological that happens in the children, and we have to try and overcome that. I'm not saying the parents should change their style. Like the children are always changing what they're doing, but we have to realize that this does exist. The second thing is that parents fail to realize is that children do not mature overnight. Not just saying that right away, as soon as they're done, they're thrilled, they're already a man. When I was a child, so they used to give it as a mitzvah drasha, today I am a man. Right? It's true. But only the first, they have to realize being the night, today I am a man. Tomorrow I go back to my childhood thing. That's just today, not tomorrow. I mean, notice that. The first day put on tefillin 30 days before, good, or whatever the minute is, he puts on his tefillin, he wears his hat and his jacket. Second or third day he's having trouble adjusting his hat, putting on the jacket, he's very clumsy. Bothering him, and later, a few more days, just putting on his tefillin, he's a regular child, goes back to his toys, goes back to his bicycle, goes back to whatever he's playing with, and goes through his old childhood, right, all of his details as a child. So we have to realize that children do not mature overnight, and it takes many years for them to mature. And you don't know how many years, it's until 20. This is brought down by the Chazal, explained by the Mefarshim, that a child's seichel does not come to him until he's 20 years old. That's why the Arachayim, for example, I'll bring you three sources over here. The Arachayim in Pashas Kisisa, on the Pashas of Koho Aver Ala Pekudim, Miben Esrim Shana Vamayla. So the Arachayim says, brings down the Chazal, that says that Bezin Shamayla does not punish a person until they're 20 years old. Why until they're 20? He says, At Chaf, until 20, Adayin Leshum Adayta Evakor Samusko. His Seichel is underdeveloped. He's not developed. Therefore, Bezin can't punish him. So therefore we see that child seichel does not become developed until 20. And that's why it's interesting, the Gemara in Sefer Bava Basra, it says that a child who's below 20 cannot sell his father's property. If he inherits it from his father, he cannot sell until he's 20, because he cannot make rational decisions until he's 20 years old. So you see, also his seichel is not developed until 20. It's brought down also two other sources, Rabbi Yanni writes in Pirkei Avos, the Perikimo. Mishnah Tesvav, says he goes on the pasuk of Chatas Neurai Upeshoai Al Tizkor. The Rebbe Malka is saying, "Don't remind me of the Chatas Neurai Peshoai." So the Inyan says Chatas to Shege Gaben Mezid, and he says, "The Rebbe Malka is telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't do it. Well, don't remind me, or don't hold me liable for it." Sheadam Oisa Ben Arusai, but Oy Yitzray Tukvay V'Dakti Nikla. He has a weakened dot. And a redaction is not possible until 20 years old. So again, until 20 years old, the person is not fully developed. You can't reason with him. You try to reason, but it doesn't work. He still attached to his emotions. And after 20 years old, already he's an older bachur, then you could try to reason with them. Also brought down in Rashi, there are many sources to this. Rashi in the Sefer Kedushin, he explains that you cannot, you shouldn't give Techacha to a child until he's 18 or 16 years old, because he doesn't understand Techacha until then. So all these sources lead us to the same place, is that a person's Sefer is not developed until 20 years old. Right? Therefore, not you shouldn't reason with them, you try and reason with the child. Tell them things that are sensible. The fact that Rav said to a Malamed of 8-year-old children, tell the children about Tchar and about Einish and about different Musagim. So the Malamed said that children understand such a thing, so the fact was that they understand more than we think. Children do understand these things, but what gets through to them is the emotional side. You have to try and connect with the children, connect with their emotions, speak to their emotions, use rewards, and use Hergel. So therefore, if you are going to ask me a question as we start over, can you reason with your child? The answer is no, you can't, until they're 20 years old. That doesn't mean you shouldn't reason with them, but what's going to get through, what's going to work, is not the reason so much. Because children don't have the reason. They're governed by their emotions, even until they're 20 years old, and the emotions are tremendously overpowering. Anybody who's married, right, talk to the men over here, knows. You try to reason with your wife on an emotional issue, you get nowhere, right? Seichel and emotions don't mix with each other. And usually the emotions overpower. A very simple example, you're going away for Shabbos, and the house is totally untidy, it's a mess. And you want to leave, it's late. And your wife says, we have to tidy up the house. So the husband says, why do you have to tidy up the house? There's nobody here. We're leaving, totally empty. Who's going to see the house? But I can't leave the house a mess. Why can't I leave the house a mess? I just can't. They can't explain why. It's an emotional need that they have to have a neat house. The more you try to explain, you get nowhere. Just talking to the wall. So of course, again, the emotions win out. Emotions can win out over a seichel, because the person has power over a seichel. He can move over a seichel. But seichel cannot override emotions. And a person emotionally attached to something, it's very difficult to override it. And finally, after all is said and done, one of the ingredients that make everything work is tefillah. We have to constantly daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu to lead us in the right way to raise our children. Stashkov said that child raising is 50% tefillah. Davening is 50%. When the Chassam Sofer took his son, the Ksav Sofer, when he was a young lad, a young boy, to the Tanz Rav, the Divrei Chaim, and the Tanz Rav marveled at how much of a Talmid Chacham he was, a Yerushalayim he was. He said, how do you merit such a son? So the Chassam Sofer took off his hat and he said, my child costed me a hatful of tears. He constantly was crying for his child. Chavetz Chaim said, when he saw the Tillim, that his mother said Tillim, Davin Tillim, he used to weep. He said, how many tears did my mother shed over this Tillim that her son, which is me, should become the Elif Hayyid? And I became the Chavetz Chaim because of her tefillahs. That's what the Mishabura writes in Hilchus Birkas HaTorah. He says, Tometiyah tefillahs ha'ova ein, shigura b'fiyem. The mother and father should constantly daven for their children, l'tzpala b'neihem, sheyu lein dey Torah v'tzadigim uvali midas. That's what we say in Birkas HaTorah. That says, Ta'enu kulanu yodei shemecha v'lein dey Torah v'tzadigim uvali midas. We should all be zech and merit to a door of Yerayim Ashtayim. It's also taped and booklets available outside if you want to press it.